Week one is in the books. Week two is on the horizon. But until then, we're talking Bear football right here, as we do every week. Welcome everybody out there. Matt Chenander alongside Jason Miller. West Branch, Lisbon on Friday night. Final score, 42-0.
West Branch.
West Branch won, 42-0. According to certain outlets, while we were watching TV, I guess West Branch was losing 35-0 at one point, all of a sudden making a miraculous comeback. How they can erase points and then score points. Now it's 42-0. But first things first, Matt. You know, we talked a little bit last week about how we expected the Bear front line to be very physical, open up holes to make it, A, demanding on a defense to try and stop, trying to stop that strength that they have up front. But also, for the from an offensive perspective, when you get holes the size of a 18-wheeler to run through, as Luke Lennox said he did on Friday night, that's how he described it in the PressCitizen.com article that I read. It makes a running back's job real easy when he's got a line opening up holes for him, so credit to them.
Yeah, the offensive line did a fantastic job, just as we expected them to do. Luke Lennox had a huge night running the ball. So did Devin Kindon. Lennox had 190 yards with two touchdowns, and he just kept breaking long run after long run. And even the first play of the Bears' offensive season was, what, 33 yards. Yeah. And he broke several tackles along the way. So, you know, in addition to that line giving him a bunch of holes to run through, once he got to the secondary, he broke a lot of tackles. So just that strength that he has, it's really helping him push himself down the field.
I mean, we're looking at 10 yards a carry out of him. 10 yards a carry for Mr. Lennox. Also, Devin Kindon, 4 carries for 43 yards. That's just shy of 11 yards a carry. Combined, Lennox had 2 touchdowns rushing. Kindon had 1 touchdown. Coach Peterson, you heard it. Last week in our interview with him, mentioned how this team, to be successful, they really want to be a 50-50 football team, 50% pass, 50% run. If one is being dictated, if the offensive line is able to dictate a game and make one more easy than the other, obviously they're going to do that. Last night is a little bit more run than rush,
yeah.
But when they pass the football, Matt, Lucas Lamont last night, on Friday night, 8 of 9, 143 yards, 3 touchdowns.
Yeah, Lucas Lamont did a great job. Other than, you know, a lot of his passes seem to be pretty low or underthrew quite a bit of receivers, but, you know, that's just something that we'll come back to him, that he lost in the offseason, just, you know, first game, first part of the season kind of thing. But, yeah, overall, you mentioned 8 of 9, 143 yards passing. Great job, and the offense was very balanced all around. A lot of rushing yards. Just, you know, that's what was working, and that's what they were doing. But I was really happy to see them just try to pass the ball, mix it up, keep Lisbon on their toes, and that's certainly what they did.
You mentioned the low footballs, and I think for what Lucas will tell you, and what a lot of quarterbacks will tell you, what you see in practice, you know, it's a little bit different than what you're going to see in the game. The speed, again, in practice, the speed of the game is a little bit slower in practice because you're going against guys you know. Mm-hmm. So perhaps they're not doing things completely similar to what you're going to see. It's tough to completely, you know, make it look like game situation. Mm-hmm. But when you get out in the game, guys are going a little bit more faster. Adrenaline's flowing, so sometimes the throws are a little off. Mm-hmm. But on the other hand, you said it. Receivers were making great catches, but 8 out of 9, 143 yards. 5 of those passes were to Devin Kindon. Mm-hmm. 96 yards receiving for that young man, and 2 receiving touchdowns.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so Devin Kindon, I really think he should have been our pick to click.
Yeah, if he was your pick to click, which yeah. We didn't get an email about,
yeah.
You would have won.
Yeah, Devin Kindon, I really think he was the stud of the offense last night. And even special teams, just because of what he brings to the table and what he was able to do last night, both receiving, running, his speed. Once he got the ball, he was able to run away from quite a few defenders. And then he was perfect on all of his extra points, and he had some great punts as well.
So let's get that out of the way now. You picked Luke Lennox, 19 carries for 190 and 2 TDs. I picked Nick Westcott. Who had 11 tackles,
yeah.
3 of which were 4 loss, 1 of which was a tackle solo quarterback sack, but I think the true pick to click, as you just said, if we really were going by definition, Devin Kindon.
Yeah.
Three touchdowns. Mm-hmm. He had 139 yards of total offense. He kicked every extra point. Mm-hmm. He sold popcorn at halftime. We could actually smell it, probably during the Thunder delay as well. And he had two punts, averaging 49 yards, basically, at 48 and a half yards a punt. Mm-hmm. I mean, what an a great individual.
You can't really ask for much more from Devin.
No. First varsity football game.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, we talked about Lucas Lamont. We talked about Luke Lennock. We talked about Devin Kindon. We talked about the offensive line. We talked about Nick Westcott. That pretty much covers the whole team. And that's the most important thing here, I think, Matt. 42 to nothing, and you're in the opening game of the season. That was the pick that clicked. And here are Coach Peterson's thoughts about the 42 to nothing victory at Lisbon on Friday night.
I thought we came out for our first game and played extremely well. We had some things that we needed to clean up this week in practice. But overall, I thought for our first game, we scored four out of the first five times on offense, and we pitched a shutout. So I think for the first game, the kids did a pretty good job.
So basically, each facet of the game, the special teams come out. Special teams, you're averaging 48 yards a punt. Make every snap look clean on extra points. Devin Kennedy made each extra point. Defense pitched a shutout, gives up 122 yards, and the offense 375 total yards and spread it out pretty well.
Yeah, we had a lot of people touch the ball, which we like to do, and the kickoff team had a real nice kickoff return too, and we'll continue to work on those aspects because you have to have three prongs with your offense, your defense, and your special teams if you're going to be a good team.
Coach Peterson, how do you feel about Devin Kindon's performance just from all-around standpoint, catching, running, kicking?
He's a real weapon. I mean, he's going to run the ball. He's going to catch it. He's our kicker. He's our kickoff man. He's our extra point man. He's a very valuable asset for our football program, and he's going to get better.
The one thing that I noticed while we were watching the game and calling the game was that when the Bears first got the ball on offense, it almost just seemed like they never missed a beat from the end of last season. The offense was rolling. Line was doing a great job blocking, creating holes. It really surprised me how well the Bears did to begin this game and how they continued that through the rest of the game and didn't get worn down and just kept going and doing really, really well.
Yeah, and as we look a little bit forward, again, the things that the Bears are going to concentrate on this year, we really stressed it in both of our podcasts so far. The coaches stressed it on Media Day. That Coach Peterson stressed it last week in his interview that we played here on the podcast. Is the offensive line. It's so cliche, but it's true. The offensive line is going to take you where you need to go.
We're going to keep saying it.
And we're going to keep saying it because if a team wants to be successful, those five, six guys that West Branch has up front, or for any team, mm-hmm. need to be successful because if they're opening up the lane, they're opening the streets up, the boys are going to tote the mail, and that's the way it goes.
Yeah.
Well, let's look forward a little bit here. Coach Peterson, we spoke with him about his thoughts on the upcoming game, the coming game for this coming Friday, I should say, against West Liberty. The Comets come into the game after a loss against Tipton, an old Eastern Iowa Hawkeye Conference battle up in Tipton on Friday night. They come in with a little bit different look. They graduated a few guys from last year again, but they've got a lot of younger kids. A lot of juniors are going to be playing. A new quarterback in Cooper Koenig moves over from being an all-district wide receiver last year as a sophomore, moves over to being a quarterback this year. I watched a little bit of film on them, and they look like a very athletic, a very quick team, which can give teams fits. And Coach Peterson had this to say about the Comets.
West Liberty always plays good, solid defense. They're going to get after you. They do a lot of stunting. We'll see if we can take advantage of some of that. They're going to be they got a nice quarterback and a Canadian kid, and they have some kids that are pretty good athletes. So we'll see what happens down there Friday. But we're excited. We have to kind of take care of ourselves, and we have to improve this week in practice. And if we do so, I like our chances, even though they are a 2A school and a bigger school.
Most schools, most coaches will say that the most improvement you see in a football team is from week one to week two. You talk about shoring some things up. Obviously, nobody can play a perfect game. It's just not possible at any level. So what are the things that you saw on film that you really feel can be shored up to make this team a little bit better from week one to week two?
I think our linebackers need to fill quicker, and I think they need to fill faster. I think we need to lock up more when we tackle people. We had some kids that came up extremely fast and were going to make a play, then they didn't finish because they didn't lock up. So we'll work on that. We have to make sure that we're gap control on defense. Offensively, we have to continue to diversify our offense so that we run it and throw it. Jared didn't show a lot of different things on Friday night. He was very vanilla, and he should have been. And so we have some new wrinkles that we're going to throw at West Liberty. And we'll keep saving things in the toolbox unless we don't. And if we need them, we'll use them. If we don't, we won't.
Well, I think, you know, from an outsider perspective, if you're watching the film where you were actually at the game, and you kind of let this big offensive line dictate what's going on, and if they're opening up holes that a truck can drive through, as Luke, that was Luke Lennox's quote, he's, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. You kind of stick to things that are basic and stick to things that are working?
Oh, absolutely. There's no sense in, you know, you might want to try something here or there, but overall, if you're moving the football, you don't need to change anything. Just keep pounding it. And we're going to also continue to work on our passing game. Didn't really have to the other night, but I think Lucas was 8 out of 9, and I'm not sure how many, over 100 yards throwing.
143
yards throwing. So, I mean, he's a weapon, and I really like that because when people come up and start to stop our run game, he'll burn them, and he'll burn them right now.
Dude, his only mistake, his only blemish was, you know, a flat route, just overthrowing the receiver a little bit. First game, those things can happen as you get going forward. But and then I'll talk about that. We've really stressed, the coaching staff has really stressed it, and through our podcast, we really talked about the size of this offensive line as being a great weapon for this team, specifically at the Class 1A football level.
Yeah, we average over 240 pounds in our offensive line, and they're not a bunch of puds. They can move. Sometimes you get a kid that's 290, 300 pounds that can't really run, but these guys can run as well, so we can do a lot of trapping, a lot of different things with these kids, and it's a huge advantage at 1A level.
And give some of your memories, off the top of your head, you know, you've been part of this rivalry. Well, it's certainly a rivalry with West Liberty through a lot of years, back through the Eastern Iowa Hawkeye Conference days, back as a player yourself. Just kind of when you think of West Branch, West Liberty, what do you think?
Well, when we were playing football in high school a long time ago, West Liberty and West Branch hated each other. And that was a bitter, bitter rivalry. And if you beat West Liberty but you lost all the other games in the season, you had a good year. It's not that way anymore. I think the rivalry has lessened up some because we don't play them on a regular basis. But it's still going to be a pretty hometown type of thing down there. We're going to have a short trip. We're going to get into West Liberty late, so we get on the field late and get warmed up and ready to go. And I'm excited. I think the kids are excited. They want to improve each and every week, and if they're going to do that, they have to improve this week.
And then finally, this last weekend, a neat thing for the program as a whole, and I think the community really put their arms around this, where West Branch had two of their graduates playing on the same field at the Division I football level. Jack Rimmels with you and I, Bo Bauer getting... A year ago, Bo Bauer's got a cast on his hand with a broken thumb and is a non-scholarship player. Fast forward a year later to this last weekend, he's a scholarship football player starting for the University of Iowa. These two faced off on the field as a football coach. Not just that, and a member of the West Branch community, it's got to make you kind of have a little bit of pride.
To see both those kids in Kinnick Stadium was fun. Jack being the captain of the team really meant a lot to me, that he's shown that he's the leader up there, that he was here all the times, and him walking out representing his teammates was fun to see. And Bo played a very good game, and both kids are tremendous football players, but they're better human beings. They do a lot of things right. They're very we-oriented. They don't like to be individual. They like to be the team first, and I think that's indicative of the kids that are successful in our programs are the ones that are team-oriented. The individuals just don't seem to make it here. So those two are real good role models for that concept.
Well, best wishes this week, Coach. Have a great week in practice, and I'm sure the Bears will put a good product on the field Friday night.
We're going to give it our best effort.
So the final score, West Liberty last Friday, Tipton 32, West Liberty 21. That game, sorry, was actually in Tipton. You know, the old adage, and every coach will tell you this, is the answer to the question of this, when do teams make their most improve the most? It's between week one and week two. Mm-hmm. Now we look on paper, Matt, and we see West Liberty losing to Tipton 32-21. And on a side note, I talked to Darren Miller, who works for the University of Iowa in the athletics department, who's a Tipton grad, and his daughters are wonderful athletes there. and he still does a lot of freelance photography and things for the Tipton paper and just for himself. He goes to all the Tipton football games he can get to. I talked with him about the game on Saturday at Kinnick Stadium, and he said that, you know, we graduated a lot here at Tipton, but we have a young quarterback. He said, I saw him playing last year on the, he said he saw him playing on the Fresh Soft team, and now that he's on the varsity, he's a good player. Had he had played for them last year as a quarterback, they might have won a few more games. That's not to take away from the quarterback they had. So just using that as a barometer is, we look on paper, we look from what we had last year. Tipton graduated a bunch. I know West Liberty graduated a bunch. Obviously, West Branch has a bunch of kids returning. You know, on paper, it looks as though West Branch could probably have an advantage against West Liberty on Friday night. But it's tough to judge games on paper, and that's not where they're played. And it's like Herm Edwards says, that's why you play the game. You don't play them on paper.
So, yep. West Liberty is going to be a good test for the Bears. Being in a higher class, they're a 2A football team, which I think it's always good that West Branch, we schedule those higher class teams just so we can, you know, face a little bit faster, a little bit bigger and tougher opponents, because that's only going to help us down the line in later season or even potentially even into the playoffs. And West Liberty's going to bring a good team. I know Coach Peterson mentioned it to the team after the game on Friday night that, you know, West Liberty's going to be a lot tougher test than what Lisbon was. Not to take away anything from what Lisbon, what they put on the field on Friday night. There were a couple things there that could have gone either way and could have put Lisbon into the game. West Liberty is going to be a much tougher test. It's going to be a lot faster, stronger than what Lisbon was. So it's going to be a good week two for the Bears, and we're going to definitely hopefully see that big improvement from week one to week two, and hopefully it'll be enough to put the Bears over the Comets.
And I think in the comment that you mentioned there from Coach Peterson, it's not saying they may be a completely better team than Lisbon. Yeah. But it's just a different dimension that we don't see all the time. West Liberty and West Branch have a storied history, going back to the polar bear, going back to the West Branch, the Quaker days, way back when the Bears were the Quakers, way back when. Played a lot of years, a lot of great West Liberty stories through the year. There's just that sort of Hatfield-McCoy feel to this game, kind of like when Iowa and Iowa State suit up. It's just one team could be 12-0, one team could be 0-12. It doesn't matter. Just throw it out.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And the last time that the Bears played West Liberty was in 2011, first game of the season. And I remember that game. It's one of those games that I just remember because of how exciting it was, how down to the wire it was, and just some, you know, last second play decisions that the Bears made. You know, we decided to go for two right there at the end of the game. To go for the win instead of the tie and go into overtime. Kay Jones punched in from a couple yards out to give the Bears the lead with just a couple seconds left. So I just remember that being down to the wire game. And even the year before in 2010, it was a relatively close game, 27-13, that we played down there. So, you know, the last two times we played them, it's been good games, and I suspect that it's going to be another good game this Friday.
Yeah, the 2011 final, 21-20. The Bears going for a two-point conversion to win that game. Kate Jones barreling over the line of scrimmage from 2.5 yards away. Bears pull out a home victory, 21-20. Folks in West Liberty will call it controversial victory, but there's no controversy.
It was close.
Because this is the Talking Bear football webcast.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
If it were Talking Comet football, we'd be talking something else. At any rate, it's one of those games, again. It's a backyard brawl. Eastern Iowa Hawkeye Conference flavor. I don't talk about this CVC and RV. No disrespect to the River Valley Conference or whatever it is, or the Cedar Valley Conference. No respect to those things. But I'm an old tried and true EIHC guy and have a lot of good memories from those years. And this is just one of those games you look forward to. Some memorable games when you think back. I think back on West Liberty. 2003, the Bears played in the semifinals, Kyle Ewald being the quarterback. In fact, that was Jared Tylee's first year as a high school football coach. We go to West Liberty and lose to the Comets in the first game of the season. The Bears run off 11 straight and play in the semifinals that year. We go, you look back at 1990, Go back to 1990. The Bears lost the first game of the season to West Liberty. Go on and run the table. After that, they didn't lose another regular season game until 1996. So there's some flood there, some floodgate opening for victory there. Just, you know, kind of neat how things sort of synergize and line up like that.
Well, let's hope that the Bears don't lose this one.
Yeah.
As you mentioned, even though it seems like there's good results that come from it.
There are. So let's tie it down a little bit here, Matt. Last Friday, West Liberty 32-21 losing to Tipton. West Branch, of course, 42-0 over Lisbon. 374 yards of total offense, giving up 122 on defense. Pretty much dominated every facet of the game. Mm-hmm. Even so much the scoreboard, they dominated that too. It didn't work.
Wasn't working.
Bears broke the scoreboard. No, actually, it didn't work. And it was one of those games. It's a first for everybody that was in attendance. A thunder delay. Yeah. I've heard of lightning delays. I've heard of injury delays. I've heard of other things, but never a delay for thunder. But it happened. My gosh. And boy, did the boom wake up after that. Ready for the boom. Well, it happened. There was no lightning after that. Bears' offense was striking everywhere.
There was some lightning. It's just the refs didn't see it.
They didn't see it. Yeah, we're in the booth. That's funny. Yeah, we're up in the booth, you know, call you and I on the play-by-play call here, you know, on westbranchfootball.com's Bearcast. And I kept saying, man, there's some lightning over there. Don't say anything. There's a maybe official next door. I kept saying there's some lightning there. I saw it two or three different times. Now, it's not lightning. It wasn't, you know, sky to ground, ground to sky. It wasn't hitting, you know, it wasn't straight up and down. It was just kind of flashes in the sky. Mm-hmm. But here's the thing to look for. You know, looking at West Liberty's roster, you look, like I said, there's Cooper Koenig's going to be your quarterback. I know number 9, Evan Dalton's going to see the ball. Number 16, Noel Palma's going to see the ball. Those are also going to be some of his favorite targets throwing the football on Friday night when they get into passing formations or running roll-out passing plays, which watching on film, they like to roll out a little bit. Cooper Koenig's a great athlete, great basketball player, a great track man as well. Just to try to get that kind of an athlete out in open space is the ideal with these new style offense. No more sit in the pocket and let it rip quarterbacks. Plus, they've got a lot to play for. West Branch is there for West Branch and West Liberty kids. This is one of those, again, it goes back a long way. So it's like they're like the Rose Bowl, so to speak, for these two teams. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, it's not at the Little Rose Bowl, which would, you know, appease us a little better. I'd enjoy it being at a home game, but that's the way it goes. The schedule makers next year it will be. So when you put all those things together, West Liberty, again, we talked about this thing on paper, so they're coming into it. They've got nothing to lose. They lost the first game already. West Branch is dominating. West Branch is, on paper, supposed to win this game. Mm-hmm. That's just right now that's how it looks, but we'll see how that plays out on Friday night. So let's get into our picks to click this week. Last week, Matt, if we were just taking the guys we had, we'll call it even. I think we can call it even. Though on the first few drives, I'm like, ah, boy,
I'm running away.
Nick's going to have to pick it up big time.
He did.
When, you know, on the first drive, Luke Lenock had 4 carries for 56 yards on the first drive alone. And then the Bears, you know, Lamont to Kindon from 10 yards out on a nice little slot pass. Give a guy a 15-yard cushion, and most teams are going to, you know, smart quarterbacks are going to see that. Mm-hmm. Threw it out to him, and Bears get up and did that again later in the game for another touchdown, the same play. Mm-hmm. So let's take this. Let's throw those three guys out. Mm-hmm. That's I'm throwing it out there. No Lenock, no Westcott, no Devin Kindon. Mm-hmm. You got to choose somebody else on the team. Again, I'll give you first choice, and I know who you're going to go with.
You think so, huh?
I guess.
No, I don't think you do, because I'm going to pick Matt Shaver.
He's going off the grid. Yes. Showtime.
Showtime Shaver. I like what Matt did last night. He blocked well on
Friday night?
Yeah, I'm sorry, on Friday night. He blocked well. He had a fantastic catch right before halftime. I think he was in the slot, and he ran a little wheel route to the left side of the field, and Lamont just lobbed it up there, and he was basically all alone, and he made a nice jumping, kind of leaping forward catch to get the touchdown right before half. And it was great catch, great route, great throw by Lamont. So I'm hoping, or I guess what I'm looking for is the West Branch offense to pick up the passing game a little bit more and get the receivers involved. And I would assume that Lamont's going to be able to keep his throws up a little bit more this week and hit the receivers in stride right on the numbers. And I'm expecting Showtime Shower to have a good game this coming week.
All right, that's a pretty good pick. He saw pay dirt last week, so Showtime got to be in the bright lights for the first time on the varsity stage. You know me, I like to go off the grid a little bit. So this week, my pick to click is Lucas Lamont.
Oh.
I'm going to take quarterback Lucas Tamon as my pick to click. Unfortunately, you left that door wide open for me. I'm going to step right into it. But here's the thing. If Lucas does well, I'm sure that Matt Shauver is going to do well. But if Lucas exactly. does well, the whole team's going to do well.
Yep.
That's the key thing we want to remember. We're not trying to pick out individuals because we're not singling them out for any particular reason other than fun.
Yep.
Because in the end, if every kid that we mention is doing their job to almost 100% certainty, 100% success rate, the West Branch team's going to win.
Well, if both of these guys, both of our picks do well this Friday, it's going to be a tie again, Jay. It's going to be a tie again.
It's going to be a tie, and that's all right. If I'm picking second, I got to keep trying to pick for the tie instead of going for the victory. You can call me Yella. Perhaps I am, but I'm just
as long as the Bears win.
As long as the Bears win, they are my pick to click. We hope our team clicks, Matt. I think there's some pretty cool news that we can also give to the folks, the listeners out there, some new developments possibly going on with the Bearcast on Friday nights.
Mm-hmm.
Longtime sports announcer, Stephen Grace, play-by-play guy. He's now works for the Learfield Communications folk as the lead man for Hawkeye Wrestling and has been doing that for about 8 years. Before that, he was the program manager at KXIC, AM 800, KXIC. Getting back to that, I used to do that.
You can't do that anymore.
I can't. But working for that radio station for a few years as their program manager, which would give him the power of a morning show, and he was also the lead play-by-play guy for football and basketball games on Friday nights. So having that sort of experience, one, being a Bear football player, and he'll, I'm sure, be happy to tell you, not happy, but he was on the team that our regular game win streak ended. He always loves to tell that story. So he's a Bear. He knows the ins and outs of this program. He's got that experience. It's tough not to delve in and take advantage of Steven for his abilities. And we're going to do that. When it works out with his schedule, and hopefully it does each week, and if it does, we're going to need to thank his wife, Jessica, for helping make that happen because, trust me, she's probably going to have to make a sacrifice to allow Steven to do this, so bless her heart. Steven is going to start helping us out doing play-by-play on Friday nights. And, Matt, we enjoyed doing that Friday, but let's be honest. Steven Grace is a definite upgrade for the program.
Yeah, certainly. When he is available, he's going to be taking over the play-by-play, and that's just going to be fantastic. You know, having a West Branch guy, a former Bear, someone who's been on the team, it's just going to be great for listeners and just great for him, you know, too, just to get involved with the program in that manner. And it's going to be very fun and going to be great for listeners to hear when they're not able to attend the games.
Yeah, the only negative is that we're going to have to tone his Main Street Suites references. We're going to have to put a counter on him. We're going to have to put a clicker on there.
So, self-promotion.
Self-promotion. Right? It just sometimes you just have to embellish.
Yep.
And I'm sure he can do that in the most respectful way. But I think if and when Stephen Grace is going to help us out, hopefully, Friday night in West Liberty, if his schedule works out, he's going to be our play-by-play man. What a great deal. We're going to try to find different color commentators to help out with home and away. I've got some ideas, some people we might want to talk with that have experience in that have worked with him in years before that are sort of unemployed in that arena right now that might be able to help out, which would improve it even more. Mm-hmm. But we'll get that when the time comes. But I just wanted you all to know, we wanted you all to know that that's on the horizon. I think you've got a lot to look forward to with that. But we got a lot to look forward to this week. West Liberty on the horizon, Matt. Let's do it for fun. Let's do this for fun, and then we're done.
Uh-oh.
Score prediction.
Oh,
Friday
goodness.
Night, West Branch, West Liberty. No offense to any Comet fans listening. If we happen to pick one team over the other,
if West Branch was, you know, we could go out there. If West Branch didn't put a player on the field and the opposing team got to count every score they had against the shadow defense, I'd still pick West Branch to win. So that's my disclaimer.
Okay. Well, I am going to say West Branch wins 31-10.
31-10. West Branch wins from Matt Shenander. You heard it from him. I say the Bears win. Just watching a little bit of film and seeing the pace of the game that the Comets want to push lends itself for me to seeing that the clock may not run as quickly as it sometimes does in other games. I'm going to say West Branch 42-7. West Branch wins 42-7. I'll take 7-6. I don't care what the score is. These are just scores just for fun. That's no disrespect to the Comets because they have a proud program. And I hope they make it a great game. I just hope that the team wearing the white, red, and black comes on top.
Yes.
But that's what we see. I don't know what you're seeing. You're not. I know you're listening. We see the count out there. Toby Grover, I know you're listening. Every week you let me know we need to play some music. You know what music he wanted us to play this week was the Boogie Woogie Bugle Boy from Company B.
Boogie Woogie Bugle Boy from Company B. Sounds like that was before my time.
Yeah, it was like, I think that came out like 1312. It was actually in the 1940s. But that was one of his requests. We're going to cut him off. I'm cutting him off from requests if he doesn't come up with something good from now on. At any rate, Matt, always a pleasure. Any last thoughts before we wrap this one up and put it under the tree?
I'm just super excited to get back out there on Friday night, and hopefully the Bears can continue their dominance on both the offense and defensive side of the ball.
I'm like super duper excited to be out there. I'm just kidding.
I don't think I sounded like that, did I?
No, you didn't.
Okay.
You didn't like. I am super. You didn't totally like, did not super, like sound like that.
Super duper duper excited.
Yeah, but I think it's fun. It's fun to get the seasons back in the flow. The Bears are healthy, by the way. No injuries reported as of right now. I think they're healthy, knock on wood. All that's, if you play the game clean, you usually are going to come out without an injury, and Friday night was no different. The Bears did, and they came out with a victory, as we've already prescribed. For Matt Shenander, I'm Jason Miller. We want to thank you, the listener. Thank all our sponsors. I wish that I could remember them off the top of my head. It's not easy, but I'm going to give this a shot. Liberty Communications, Hodge Construction, Casa Tequila, Main Street Suites, Dan and Julie Hayes and EMS Eternity Services, West Branch Times, and Virgil's Auto Repair. I think we did okay with that, Matt.
I think
Matt.
You got him.
I think we got him on. If we missed you, or if you want to be a part, let us know. Any donation from $1 to $10,000 or whatever you want to give, we don't care. But it all goes toward helping us promote the Bear football program, helping us promote this podcast and the Talking Bear podcast, and as well as the webcast and some of the equipment that we have.
Yeah, so if you or your company, your business are interested in advertising, just head to westbranchfootball.com, click on the podcast link at the top, and then there'll be a link to for more information about sponsoring or advertising with us. All the money goes into the football program, helps us pay for all the costs that we incur from being able to put out this content for our listeners and the fans. So any help that we could get would greatly be appreciated.
And it's not just for this year. Again, we're hoping to keep this running for many, many years to come.
There's just upfront costs and ongoing costs that unfortunately we have to pay for.
We do. And so far, you got everybody out there has been wonderful. Yep. I think this year is covered, which is the good news. We're close to getting this year covered, but we're pushing forward. And thank you so much. At any rate, again, for Matt Shenander, I'm Jason Miller. Again, we want to thank you, the listener. Thank Coach Peterson for his comments today. And thank you for tuning in. Make sure you tune in on Friday night for the Bears take on West Liberty. Game time, 7 o'clock. We will start this thing cooking. The Bearcast will come to you live beginning at 6:45. Stephen Grace, I think, is going to be on the call. Unfortunately, I may be on the color commentary.
At least it's not me. I was a little thrown in there last minute last night, or on Friday night.
I think he did a fine job out there, though.
I've never done it.
I'm sure Mama Kathy Kahn's very happy with you and your performance, man. I mean, let's be honest. This is your first time. You got thrown right into the wolves and didn't even flinch.
Well, I might have flinched, but oh well. It's not about me.
Let's be honest. You had a lot of things going on the side. You had to keep this clock ticking the whole night long. And you've been listening to Talkin' Bear Football, this podcast powered by Hoot Project on westbranchfootball.com. Take care, everyone.